We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director today, Kyle Mabry, the producer for the program, Harriet Williamson, and dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this morning. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs and the bond we share with those animals. So, listeners, your phone calls and email messages about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training are invited this morning. You can join us with a phone call or by email. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Carol, Jim, good to see you. How are you?
It's great to see you.
June is bursting out all over.
Yes.
It's a gorgeous day out there.
It's lovely.
Thank you.
It's perfect.
So Carol's happy and...
I'm almost always happy. There's a little
really,
almost in there.
Really cold. I know you don't
yes,
care.
Yes, I was thinking
weather.
This morning how much I prefer mowing the lawn to shoveling snow.
Yeah.
So no complaints from me.
Yeah. But the dogs out at Poker Flats, those Malamutes.
Well, they're getting rid of their winter coats all over the place.
Yeah.
And the birds like it. I saw
a
bird.
Yeah, the birds love dogs.
Robin brushed out one of the dogs, and I saw a bird picking up what it thought was going to be a little bit of fur, and it picked up like a foot long.
Struggled with it.
No, they're very light. And flew away, and I thought... Well, there's going to be a warm,
comfortable
dry
nest.
Yeah.
I see you're taking advantage of the moment to be so dramatic by putting that bandage on your knuckle here.
Yeah, I was in a...
Robin hit him with a pooper scooper.
Uh-huh.
By accident.
That woman's
but now,
trying
you know,
to
now
kill
he sits
me.
There and he takes the bandage and he puts it on when he has
well,
a
I,
audience.
I had it off, had the bandage off to let it dry out a little bit.
Okay. TMI. I don't like wounds.
So how are the dogs? How are your dogs, Carol?
They're fine. They're just fine. Making the quick change in temperature and humidity, you know, they...
Up and down.
We can
spring.
Reason with it, you know, but they are like, oh, my God. So, you know, I keep them indoors as much as possible because I don't put the air on except for them when they're really uncomfortable. Then the
mint juleps work real well. We just give everybody mint julep in the
morning. They give
them
mint julep in their water dish. And yeah, but I have fans and everything. But they dogs are smart. They just chill out when it's really warm.
Yeah, cats do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of cats, it's Adopt a Cat Month.
That I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
So,
what's
I was
a cat month?
Adopt a Cat Month.
June.
What's
is,
a cat month?
June is the
Stop
month
it.
To adopt a cat. We won't humor him today on that.
It's impossible.
So I was thinking of that today because the last time we were here, we talked about Mutt Strut, which is a benefit for the Humane Society. And I'm sure that they would love to have people come out and take a look at cats. And
adult cats, especially, because it seems most people want a kitten. And there are wonderful adult cats
available.
Adult
cats are great.
Mm-hmm. They are.
They are. They are.
I would
wonderful.
Rather have an adult than a kitten.
Well, kittens are kittens for a month, maybe 2 months,
mm-hmm.
and they're adults then for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. But yeah, they've got just beautiful cats. All the cat rescue organizations are.
That would
struggle.
Be a cat month, by the way. Two
right.
cat months.
Okay. Should we tell them to stop it now?
Stop it now, Jim.
I didn't mean to interrupt. You go ahead and finish what you were saying.
All cat rescue organizations, including shelters, and all struggle this time of the year with an influx of kittens. You think we would have spayed and neutered every cat on the planet, but that's not the case. So people still bring in litters of kittens that they arrived by inadvertently, and the kittens get adopted. It's the adults that sit and wait then.
Mm.
which is kind of heartbreaking to me.
Yeah. Well, 6 years ago, we adopted a five-year-old.
Has it been 6 years?
I want to say six
wow.
years, 2006.
It seems like yesterday.
No, 5 years. 5 years. So he's a 10-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's wonderful.
They are. And they are so long-lived now.
Yeah.
A healthy cat kept indoors 20 years.
And I think
17
if
years.
A cat, if an animal can be grateful, he was really happy
mm-hmm.
to leave the shelter and come home and be
I really do believe that they're grateful,
yeah.
that they thank you every day
yeah.
in their own way.
Yeah.
We're not smart enough to figure that out yet.
Yeah. So was Muttstrut a success?
Oh, Muttstrut was great, and then we just, it was a huge success, and the weather was on our side that morning because forecast wasn't that great. And then our giant garage sale, which was Memorial Day weekend, was a huge success again. And thanks to all the volunteers and who spent countless hours.
That's such a huge undertaking.
Yeah, I wasn't able to attend this year, but it was, I've heard that it was just absolutely wonderful, well organized. Convenient. People were in a good mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back to Poker Flats. I'm wondering, I think that you have recently, you folks had puppies out there, right?
Yeah, we've got a 10-week-old litter. And they've discovered that if you persist, you can tear the siding off the house.
Oh, my.
You can't do it in one swipe. It takes, but slow and steady wins the race. And
well, it's kind of like, what was the movie where he carved the hole in the tunnel in prison?
The Great Escape.
No. It was not The Great Escape.
The Man in the Iron Mask.
No, it was a Stephen King
novel. Lord Jim. What?
Shawshank Redemption. Thank you, Wade. That movie, remember? He kept the poster of the woman over there, and he dug with a little plastic spoon for eons and escaped.
Yeah,
how the puppies look at it.
Yeah, the puppies aren't so much trying to escape as they are trying to destroy stuff.
Oh. This is a common problem, though. I'm glad you brought it up.
But don't get me wrong. Malamutes make wonderful pets.
Destruction of... And, well, explain to me, Jim, your theory on why they do this.
My theory on why they do what?
Tear off the siding of your house.
Chew
on inappropriate things outdoors.
They have nothing better to do. They're dogs. They don't recognize.
Puppies. How astute.
Puppies chew.
Puppies chew. But adults sometimes chew as well. And I recently met a young man and his year-old Shepherd Cross, beautiful dog. And she chews inappropriate things because you ask, what some issues are. And she chews anything, wires, gutters, siding, and she's bored. She has nothing else to do. So they
have a 52-inch plasma screen TV. Why can't they just sit and watch it like everybody else? No, we got to look, siding.
Do they have access to the Netflix, though?
There's your problem.
Well, we did that with a litter a couple years ago, and they just almost put us in bankruptcy. They just...
Ordered too many Netflix.
Yeah, and they gave their password to some other dogs, and
entertaining.
We're getting bills for things we'd never heard of.
So, what kind of advice do you have for people?
Well,
who are coping with this.
Every situation's different. Dogs that like this particular dog was incredibly bright, and she picked up on everything in just a nanosecond, and. But she left her own.
That's fast.
I mean, seriously, it was kind of astonishing to watch her learn very basic things. And she's bored. She's got no interaction with anyone all day. She's outdoors. She's unfortunately chained due to their circumstances. And that's it. So I gave suggestions, raw bones, stuffed Kongs, some interactive toys that she can keep within her reach. Like I love that Premier Busy Buddy that the dog rolls with their nose and kibble falls out. Things like that to keep her attention diverted from things that she shouldn't chew on. So it's not an easily solved mm-hmm. problem in just a conversation. But I think that with persistence and diligence and some creativity, you can kind of avert those situations.
Yeah. I recently heard about a dog, part terrier, and this dog, they found that the way to work with him was the owner, when she's getting ready to go to work, she gets him in the truck and she takes him, the dog, over to her parents, and they love him. Mm-hmm. They're retired. And what a great fix. So then after work, she comes and picks him up and takes him mm-hmm. home.
And things are...
dog's very happy.
Solved using some, just like I said, some creative thought processes.
Not everybody has that kind of an option.
Not everybody has that. That is very true.
Yeah. So what are you doing out there with the puppies who are chewing?
Well, they have a really lazy breeder. But what I should do, we have a lot of portable pens that when you're traveling, you can set them up and real quick, and mostly for puppies.
Because the big dogs, called X-pens.
X-pens. So
not
the dogs
crates,
don't.
X-pens.
The big dogs can jump out of them pretty easily. But in any event, I have one across the front of the deck where we have a gate and a fence with little poles, because they were chewing the poles apart.
Mm.
So I put that there. So now I'm going to have to put another puppy pen where they're digging, digging. They're also chewing. And what concerns me about the steps, the wooden steps up to the house, is that it's treated wood. And often they treat it with arsenic and old lace. And the old lace isn't that bad, but the arsenic can be bad. And they're chewing away at this stuff. And I said, please don't eat it. You know, if you want to chew it, that's bad enough. But if you eat it, you'll die.
Now, are there things you could put on the surface so that it would be not so attractive to
20 or 30
after?
Gallons of chili peppers, I suppose, would do it.
Yeah, bitter apple perhaps. But that it would make more sense to move the pen away from the deck. But that's
they're not
call.
In a pen. They're on the deck.
They're on the deck.
There's no pen.
They're chewing the floor of the deck?
The steps into the house.
Why don't you stop and get some busy buddies on the way home tonight?
Well, they have more toys than
I know.
They have
I
in Cleveland. One problem, though, is when their mother's with them, we always say, oh, mother, very mature and everything. She likes the toys better than they do. So she starts stealing them. And so you got to go, Penny, put those toys back. And she looks at you, huh? So we put them back. But, the toys go back and forth. But keeping them away from the side of the house is the solution. Mm-hmm. They're too young to train.
Mm-hmm. Where are our calls today?
I don't know. I'm going to ask for some
yes,
calls right
do.
Now. This is Focus, and this morning we're talking with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Jim raises Malamutes. Carol has a Golden and a Doodle. Listeners, if you'd like to join us this morning with questions, comments about dogs, give us a call or join us by email. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL, and the email address will-talk@illinois.edu. Yeah, the phone. Oh, we're getting a call now. See? When you ask,
what happens?
People chime in.
I got my cell phone out. I was going to call.
That would have been interesting. That would
have been your earphones on.
I think the show would explode.
So this is Focus. My name is Celeste Quinn. Our technical director this morning, Kyle Mabry, and the producer for the program, Harriet Williamson. And we've got a listener ready to talk with us on a cell phone, line one. Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a great day out. Beautiful.
And what can we do for you today?
Well, I have a 17-year-old son who has been wanting to get a dog since our first dog died when my son was 12. And he knew that dog for 12 years, and it was hard on all of us, but he continues to want one. And so we've said, okay, but it has to be your responsibility. And so he's starting to look for a dog. And just wondering if you have any words of wisdom to parents who really want the dog to be his.
There are no words of wisdom, and I'm just going to sound mean here, but
oh God, I knew
you have a 17-year-old human being of, you know, whatever flavor. In the next 10 years, their life is going to change about every month. You know, they're going to continue their education. They're going to move here. They're going to get a job. They're going to fall in love. They're going to have kids. And none of those life changes is going to involve a dog. As long as your son is at home, obviously there's someone to take care of the dog if he's not around. But let's say he gets accepted to Harvard. What are you going to do? Say, well, I'm sorry, I can't go to Harvard because I have a dog. No, he's going to leave and the dog is going to be there. And I only speak from experience. You know, we as a policy, and we've broken it a couple of times, we won't give a dog to anybody under 25.
Wow.
And the reason is just what I said. We've gotten too many dogs back from people that, you know, they were 20 when we gave them the dog. And a year later, I'm going to Denmark for a study program. I can't – no one will take the dog. Well, it's a Malamute. No one is going to take a Malamute. So we get the dog back. The other thing is the second problem we've had is now he's 17. He's a little more mature. But we've had people say, well, I'm going to, you know, have the kid learn responsibility. We'll get him the dog. Well, you got a 10-year-old kid. Kids don't learn responsibility. They're taught responsibility any more than you can teach a kid calculus that's 10 and say, here's a book, you know, read it. And there'll be a pop quiz in a month. And we've gotten dogs back. I'm thinking of one in particular. He didn't take care of the dog. He didn't do this. Well, you know, he was supposed to learn using this dog, and you were supposed to help him. Just because he had a dog doesn't mean all of a sudden he's responsible. He's got to learn those things. And the dog isn't going to teach him that. So it was just a device to make the kid feel guilty for not taking care of the dog. Mm-hmm. And the father, who was going on as they were returning the dog, looked at me and said, "That's right, isn't it?"
Good.
I had to count to 10 about 5 times because I didn't want to say anything in front of the kids. But if I had been able to, I said, "This is your responsibility. The dog was your responsibility from day one. Now, if you want to teach the kid responsibility using the dog, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that the dog is a 10-year-old's responsibility." Anyway, and I appreciate that your son, you know, wants a dog. But the practical end of it is he doesn't see his future, and we do. We know his future is going to be exciting and it's going to change, and there are all kinds of things. And dog ownership just generally doesn't follow that. You know, if he goes to college and lives in a dorm, is he going to have a dog with him? No. So you are going to end up with the dog almost without question. And that could be okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that as long as that's understood when you get the dog, that it's for him for a year and then it's your dog. I hate to say sound old and crotchety, but I am.
No, actually, you're rather eloquent.
Oh, thank you.
He was, wasn't he? Mm. No.
No, and this is no reflection on you or your son. This is just life, you know.
Oh, I understand, and your crotchiness is very kind.
Well, I guess the question is, how do you and your wife feel about, you know, a year out, 2 years out, having a dog that you're going to call your own?
Well, I think that would be okay. We're nearing retirement, and my wife had a dog for about 5 years before we married, and we continued to have that dog for about 7 or 8 years into our marriage, and then we had our children by then, and we got our second dog at that for about 12, 13 years. and that's the one that my son remembers.
Yeah.
So my wife is a really strong dog lover, but we're working right now, and we've got another year or two to go. So if he could do it for a year or two, then that would be fine, because we'd be off.
Yeah, and have it be a family decision, and you know, look forward to it. If your wife's a dog lover, she'll be ecstatic. You'll enjoy the company. Your son will be happy, and maybe even despite Jim's future predictions, he may just want to stay home until he's 30. You just never know.
Well, then you'll have another set of problems. But.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
let me tell you, we've broken this a couple times and have very successfully, you know, that. But we've talked to the people intensely. We've given dogs to people under 25 or, you know, that were fairly young. In their early 20s.
And the
people turned out to be wonderful and you know, got more dogs and got interested in sledding and all sorts of wonderful things. You know, but that we've had the opposite problem as well. So,
that's why
it's just a policy. It's not a
most shelters. Most shelters won't adopt a dog to anyone under 21. For the very same reasons. No. So it would, in essence, be you and your wife that would be filling out the adoption papers if you go that route. For the reasons that Jim so
eloquently.
Basically, yeah, you were. I was really listening to you. You were good.
Well, that was a change.
Yeah, for those very reasons, though, that when you're young, you don't realize the commitment that is involved. And it's a huge one. Now
yes,
I sound old, too.
Yeah, and crotchety.
And crotchety.
Yes, it is.
Kind and crotchety.
Thank you.
Well, it's nice to know there are other men in the old crotchety.
I can't
Thank
wait to tell
much.
The kids get off my lawn.
Thanks for
the
call.
Hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And next we take a call from a listener in Urbana waiting on line two. Hello.
Hi. I was calling for some advice about how best to introduce two dogs to each other when one of them sometimes shows aggression towards strange dogs.
I'm going to guess one is yours, right?
Yeah. We have a 5-year-old pug, and my parents have a 7-year-old Boston Terrier. The pug is very docile, doesn't really show aggression. The Boston Terrier, however, seems to have small dog complex where any dog that's bigger than him, he tends to growl.
The pug is a male also?
Yes.
And are they neutered?
Yes.
Okay.
We attempted once before to get them together, and we did it when we were out for a walk in a park.
Ah.
Good idea.
Did it work?
It didn't really work so well. When the dogs first approached each other, it looked like they were just getting together to kind of sniff each other in the snout, but the Boston kind of lunged forward and nipped the pug a little bit on his snout.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, We
then walked, you know, we took a walk through the park. We just didn't let them get very close together. But after that point, they weren't, you know, the Boston wasn't going after the pug anymore. But we didn't let them get close.
I just don't think it sounds good when a dog will nip a dog upon meeting it.
Well.
Little bitty guys.
What I'm thinking is, and whose Boston is it? Your parents, did you say?
Yeah.
And how is the Boston with you guys without the dog?
He's fine.
He's fine?
Yeah.
And how old are both of the dogs?
Pug is about 5, the Boston is about 7.
Then you didn't say that earlier. I'm sorry, I forgot.
The common wisdom is exactly what you did. Okay, go to neutral territory, and that sort of thing. it may be that the Boston, and I'm not real, there's some people that may be listening now that have Boston, but
there's a
there are not
ton
many Boston,
of Bostons. Oh, no, there are okay. a lot, yeah.
I'm not real familiar with Bostons, but it may very well be in this particular circumstances where it should have worked. You know, you're on neutral territory. There's no guarding of territory. It may be that the Boston regards its job as protecting his owners, your parents.
Right.
So it might be handy if the Boston was handled by somebody that's not your parents.
And then let's not forget about leash aggression.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. There's a thing called leash aggression where if the dogs were loose, they would be friends. But if they're on leash for some reason that humans don't understand, they regard it as their job to protect who's ever behind them. But I would start by getting somebody that the dog's familiar with but is not their, you know, family member. And maybe somebody, you know, that knows a little bit about dogs. We introduced a male to a female years ago. We were giving a female to some friends, and they had a male. And we said, here's what's going to happen. We'll let the female out. We'll let the male out. And this was in a yard. They weren't leashed. I said, the male's going to growl, and he's going to jump on her, and she's going to scream like she's being killed. And that'll go on for about 30 seconds, and then they'll be friends. Well, it lasted 60 seconds, but after that, they were lifelong friends. And it sounded just horrible. But we said, just give it some time. And it may be that that's, you know, this guy is nipping either because of leash aggression or because he's protecting mom and dad from this evil intruder. So if you can get somebody that the dog doesn't feel like protecting, get him on neutral territory. You could even try somebody neutral with your dog, and you take the Boston, so that
so the poor pug is like thrown to the wolves.
No, and don't throw them together, but try to introduce them again.
Oh, that's a good.
What you're
suggestion.
Trying to do is take away the pug's desire to protect anybody. And
the Boston's the protector.
The Boston's. So, you know, if he doesn't like you, then you could take him and say, oh, don't bother to protect me. But something like that. You can also now, these dogs, for people that don't know, these dogs are about the same size, which is small.
Yeah.
When you have a fight with Malamutes, you know, it's epic.
I'm thinking of these two like a tempest in a teapot. But it's still scary because you love them.
Well, you don't want them nipping their noses. And the other thing is there's nothing wrong if a dog nips me. I tell my classes, you know, you should never say no to your dog or give him a harsh correction. Unless they're attacking me, then you can do whatever you want. There's nothing wrong with yelling at the boss and saying, quit that, you know, don't bite, and just letting him know what the parameters are. The other thing is if you could meet with a kind of a small group of people, maybe four, and have all the humans touch each other and then have the humans pet the pug and have humans pet the Boston. Dogs put a lot of stock in touching.
When did you get so touchy-feely?
That's dogs. They, you know, if
but the humans are touching each other too?
Yeah, so the dog sees the it's like a pack greeting. If a pack of wolves get back together after hunt and they all rub up against each other and some of them growl at the others and some go, ah, and it's a big ceremony. And if you could kind of do that.
So a handshake or a pat on the back.
Yeah.
No hugs, I hope.
Yeah, you don't have to
unless you
rub your body against anybody, but to shake and just do some touching so the dog knows that this is kind of a pack greeting.
I think you're making this up.
I am not making this
up. I think you've gone over.
Now, normally you don't have to do this because if you're in a neutral place, No, all you have to do is something like this. You don't have to.
He touched me.
He touched me.
We're on the shoulder.
It was very proper.
We're not on the, live on the air.
Hey, there are cameras in here. So,
that's right.
But anyway, to do this kind of thing, to give the pug the idea, I'm sorry, the Boston the idea that everything's fine and he doesn't have to view the pug as an outsider.
Let's say the pug says, forget it. I don't like this guy. He didn't play nice with me. I don't want to go through this. So that's where it's important to look at your dogs, not just listen to them, but look at their whole body and see what kind of reaction they have when they see each other again. And if the hair goes up on their back, if they get stiff-legged, if their ears pop up and their tail curls. Well, Boston doesn't have a tail.
Another thing
you need to look at.
The dogs have to be far away from each other and under control, but food will reduce tension. So you can give them at the same time in front of each other some food, like a half a hot dog or something. That'd be a whole meal for these
guys.
A hot dog slice.
A little bit
of food, so it's not a little treat that they could just swallow, you know, really quickly, but something they may have to gnaw on for a second or two so they know that they're eating.
I hope you're taking notes.
Yeah.
Because
these are all things you can try.
I know. I know.
Last time I was eloquent. This time I'm not dumb. how things change. But you try all those things. And as I said, if you don't yell at the Boston if he's not doing anything. But if he tries to bite, you know, you say, hey, quit that.
Right.
You know, and keep your leash loose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No tension on the lead, because that sometimes—
If you can.
That indicates to the dog, if you're trying to hold him back, then you've got
a reason. Right.
And he's going to solve it for you, so.
If, you know, one thing you can try if it is leash aggression is get a secure area like a neutral backyard that's fenced and, you know, put the dogs out there and see what happens. But that's kind of risky where the dog's already bit the other dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just unusual to go up and bite another dog in the face.
Well, that's why I thought it was protection.
Could be.
You know.
Could be.
It sounds like kind of a minimal sort of thing, just a little nip. In other words, he didn't attack the other dog.
Yeah, and how did the pug respond when that occurred?
The pug was fine. I'm not even sure he knew that it had happened.
Nah. Did he bleed?
There was a tiny little drop, yeah.
Poor little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the pug is bigger than the Boston.
No,
not by much. There we are. Not by much. And you could have a nice dog fight. That's how Robin hit me with the pooper scoopers in the middle of a dog fight. But try those things. I mean, they're all ways of trying to reduce aggression, reduce tension. Food is good for that. Everybody touching is good for that. To try to get
and relax,
you know, and everybody's
just relax.
Yeah.
Don't get tense and anxious, and
you know, set aside a couple hours for this ceremony. Don't say, well, you know, we got 10 minutes to get this solved.
I just see this group of people all hugging and touching each other and eating and feeding dogs.
It's called a family picnic. They happen all over the country all the time. I hope we've been helpful.
I can't
think of anything else to try.
Oh, I'm surprised, frankly. Oh, you're so kumbaya this afternoon, so.
Believe me, touching and, you know, just patting somebody on the back, very good for dogs.
Or if everybody's just relaxed and having a good time with one another.
Sure.
And the tone of voice is friendly.
Mm-hmm. It's a greeting ritual that dogs understand.
Well, I hope this caller will call back after the next meeting.
Yeah, we'll give that a try. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call this morning. This is Focus. I'm Celeste Quinn. We're talking this morning with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. Our conversation continues after a short break.
Newsweek correspondent Mazyar Bahari was arrested in Tehran in 2009 while covering protests. The evidence against him included a clip from The Daily Show, in which he was interviewed by one of their satirical correspondents. Bahari's written a new memoir about his three-month imprisonment, in which he was interrogated by a man he called Rosewater. Mazyar Bahari on the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
And this is Focus on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our guests this morning, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, to take your calls. Listeners, you can join us with a phone call or by email, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free, 800-222-9455, and the email address will-talk@illinois.edu. And no one is waiting at the moment.
Since I've had, the last 10 days of these episodes of forgetting things, please tell me that's a new feature that they...
It is.
Thank you.
It
Thank
is a
you.
New
I
feature.
Thought, oh my goodness, I've been listening to this for years and it never dawned on me.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I feel much better
We're
now.
In the radio studio
it's
right
a,
now.
It's a way to reintroduce the program.
I like it.
It's also a way to tuck in a little information about some other program
sure.
that's coming up later
Because we
day
forget that there's other programming on here. It's just all about us.
Would be interested in.
Great. So. Can I bring up one quick thing before I
yes,
forget?
Yes, you may.
There's a group called CatSnap. Wonderful group of people. They're cat rescue, but they do everything. They're gathering supplies for the animals that were displaced in Joplin, Missouri. They'll take cash donations. They'll take anything that's on a wish list. They will, any donation at all. They'll be at Pet Supplies Plus through this weekend, which is located at Duncan and Kirby in Champaign, in that county market strip. And they're leaving Tuesday with whatever they're able to gather to go help in the animal rescue relief effort in Joplin.
Okay. And after this call that we're going to take next, I want to, maybe what it would be a good thing to talk about is thinking about preparing for an emergency mm-hmm. and how you would care for your animal. But we're going to take this call first. This is a listener in Georgetown on line one. Hi.
Well, good morning. My daughter and son-in-law and their kids went to a pet store, and I was in Avon, Indiana, actually. And they had a rescue dog there. It's a cockapoo. Cutest thing. They had at our house last weekend. White male. It had been neutered just shortly before they got it. He is approximately a year old, a hair over maybe. And he seems to be having problems going to the toilet in the house. And she... You know, should they have to just take him back? Does this happen with rescue dogs or?
It happens with all dogs. And I would guess the dog wasn't house trained appropriately.
Oh.
So you have to, if you could find a little bit about his background, could be that's what. Does he urinate and defecate or?
Mostly it's. Number two, mostly.
Yeah.
Just that.
I would say that there would be no reason to take the dog back unless your daughter just can't deal with it. But there's got to be an underlying reason for it, and she's
well, they said they got rid of the dog because of a breakup in a relationship or marriage. I told her, I said, I think they probably did not give the straight facts on this.
No, I think that's probably true, that they got rid of the dog because their relationship changed. I doubt highly that they got rid of the dog because of his bathroom habits in the house.
No, that could be. He didn't even go for our number two for a couple of days after they had him. They just couldn't make him go. And now I hear he's going in the house from the sublime to the ridiculous.
So you have to go, you have to treat him like he's an eight-week-old puppy. And so you can tell your daughter this. Has she ever had a puppy that she's house-trained?
No, just when she was at home and we did it.
Okay, so treat him like an eight-week-old puppy, take him out at certain intervals, take him out after he eats. Is she fenced in or is she leash walk?
No, they'll have to have her. When she's outside, she has to be on a stake.
Okay, so.
And at night, she sleeps with my grandson.
That's good.
She didn't have any problem at night. And that's why they got him. They have to sleep with the kids.
Good.
We always had a dog that slept with her. We have no problem with that.
Oh, no. I think that's perfectly fine. But
yeah.
If she's worrying about the elimination habits, she's the one that's going to have to work at that problem and resolve it.
Yesterday, she fed him and took him out. She said she walked in for probably 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Went in the house, went upstairs, and he did his job.
Yeah, this question comes up a lot, and Jim has some very good theories that I'm going to let him share with you about. And you know, if you don't know his history, so, okay, off the top of my head, I'm thinking he doesn't want to eliminate in front of somebody because he's been punished for it before.
Well, doesn't, she punished him, too. She bawled him out.
Well, that's not effective.
What do you do?
I'm going to let Jim handle the rest of this, and he'll give you some suggestions.
Okay.
Yeah, well, as Carol said, if a dog poops and you yell at him, then, you know, or punish him in some other way, that'll be the last time you see him pooping because he's going to go, I'm going to poop behind the couch because they won't see it. But
well, give me a clue here.
Well, every dog eliminates. The problem isn't the dog's eliminating, it's where he's eliminating. And as Carol observed, you got to treat him like he's a puppy. He obviously doesn't know. She walked him for a long time, brought him back. My quick analysis of that is this. The dog knows that as soon as he eliminates, the walk is over. He probably learned that either from your daughter or from previously. You know, they'd take him for a walk, he'd poop, they went back home.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is one good reason why dogs don't go when they're being walked. The solution to that is to train the dog. You go out into the, you know, and instead of starting the walk, you just stand there. And you don't move. And this is a little, let's say you feed the dog, you know, maybe 10 minutes later. You keep an eye on the dog, but 10 minutes later, let the food start going through and let the peristalsis start. Take the dog out and just stand there. And the dog's going to go, what's going on? And pretty soon the dog's going to have to go. And it goes. And as soon as the dog either pees or poops, you start walking, all right? So, in other words, elimination doesn't end the walk. It starts the walk.
Kind of a reward then, really.
It's a reward in itself. Oh, all I have to do is poop. And because obviously the dog is holding it for 45 minutes because he wants to walk. And as soon as he gets home, well, there's no more walk. There's no more point in holding it.
Or he doesn't want to poop in front of somebody.
Doesn't want to poop in somebody. Now, as Carol has observed, the one problem with this there are a couple problems with this technique. One, it may take forever to get the dog to poop. You know, you just have to be patient. But the second thing is the dog may be afraid to eliminate in front of somebody. But from the human point of view, standing for, you know, half hour waiting for a dog to poop is not
that would
exciting
be kind of,
or, yeah.
Extreme.
But it's probably the best thing to do now. If the dog, you know, because normally a piece of advice would be to do exactly what your daughter's doing, take him for a nice walk. And she did, and it didn't work. But I think it's because he's come to associate.
We had this call last month, too, I believe, the same situation.
What should you do, Don? He's gone on something in the house, and she spanks it, which is fine.
No.
What would you do?
Clean it up and be done with it.
It really depends. If you catch the dog in the act, you can show some excitement. I wouldn't yell at the dog and put him out right away and say, this is, you know, this is where you do it. Well, and then, okay, fine, I go outside. But dogs are a lot like Carol. You notice Carol's forgetting stuff. About 2 minutes after the dog has pooped, it does not remember pooping, and probably less than that.
But he remembers being spanked in the presence of the poop.
Exactly. And so how the poop got there continues to be a mystery to him. I mean, dogs aren't that smart. And their memories – now, some things they remember all of their life, but it's things that are related to being a dog. And pooping in a certain spot is not one of them. So if they poop and if they poop, an hour later you find it, you show it to the dog, you bang it on the head with a newspaper. Uh-huh. What you're successfully doing is making the dog afraid of poop. Not pooping in the house. That now it's because it doesn't know where this poop came from. Doesn't really remember. It might say, "Oh, that's my poop," I think. Wham, wham, wham. But it doesn't really remember, doing it. And it certainly can't figure out, and never will figure out, why he's being hit for it, except that the human is totally irrational. And
he won't make the connection then.
He will not. There's never been a dog that's figured that out yet.
Okay. I told her to take it back to the rescue people and ask for one more week. Within the week, they can take it back and get all their money back. So I said, ask him for one more week. If he doesn't mm-hmm. shape up, well, then, you know, he ships out. But
okay, so I think that giving a dog a time limit on learning to eliminate appropriately, there you can't set a time limit on that. So how long has she had the dog? A week?
Yeah, and it was at a week's time, they can still get all the money back, which was included the spays.
Well, then, I think you might be better off doing exactly that, taking the dog back.
Oh.
Because her expectations, the dog's only been there for a week. Heaven knows what his background was. He's under stress. Your daughter's family's under stress because they've got a change in their family. And I think that perhaps she might want to return the dog.
Well, I'll tell her that. I just want to ask for one more week. I'm sure they'd give it to her, but they don't want the dog back.
Well, what rescue organization was it? In Georgia?
It's over in Avon. I don't know. Oh, okay. Out in front of, like, the PetSmart or something like that.
Okay.
They had a whole lot of dogs. And this is the only dog that wasn't barking, which really got their attention. And he doesn't bark unless he's really ticked off about something. But he doesn't go around the house barking at people or anything like that. He was a pleasure to have at our house.
I think your daughter might want to reconsider.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Focus, and we're talking with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel this morning, and we have about 7-8 minutes left in this portion of the program. If you have a question about dog training, behavior, caring for dogs, give us a call, 333-9455, 800-222-9455, and the email address will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, before this hour is up, I thought we should talk a little bit about being prepared with your pet for an emergency. Because this spring has been
horrible.
Horrific.
And that one Wednesday night, and I thought about this very issue, and Jim's setup and mine are different because I just have the two dogs in the house. But when the sirens went off, we went downstairs to the family room and just sat there, and I couldn't really believe that anything was going to happen, but just to be safe. Well, sitting in a recliner in the family room probably was not the brightest thing. I should have taken further precautions. And then we went back upstairs. And then they went off a second time, and I did the very same thing. And they were, like, consoling me. I was trying not to be afraid, but obviously I was concerned. And the third time, we didn't go back downstairs when they went off. So I started thinking, I thought, okay, so I'm keeping them safe, but what should happen if the roof blows in, the walls blow out. They're both microchipped, but I didn't have a leash and a collar handy. I didn't have any way to keep them safe other than just my presence. And it's something that I intend to rectify somehow and be more prepared, just to make certain that a leash and collar are at least nearby for both of them. And I feel comfortable that they're chipped, but they don't wear name tags either. So I thought I would take care of that and put name tags on their collars. And Jim, what did you do that Wednesday night? Or were you at the dog training club that night? That's not a Wednesday.
I was at the dog training club.
Yeah. I see, we are very odd people.
I didn't know there was a tornado warning of any kind.
Yeah.
It hardly rained up where we were.
Okay, this is the Wednesday night.
I remember the night and the Tennessee Waltz.
Well, there were other people at the club with you that would testify that it was far different than you just described.
Well, it rained and it was, but, you know, we have the tin roof. It was loud. But
Well, what did Robin do at home?
Probably, you know, we have a lot of crates in the basement and we bring the dogs in to feed them down there, that's usually where they are in the evening. So I don't think she did anything special. She just walked the dogs and brought them down. Our emergencies are principally tornadoes. I'm always surprised that animals get stuck in a flood because, with notable exceptions, the flood, you know, in 3 weeks, it's going to rise to flood level. Well, get the dog somewhere. You got 3 weeks. But tornadoes are different. They're totally unexpected and completely devastating. And I think you should have some plan for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
You should have your medications, prescriptions, all information, things you can't afford to lose, like pictures and things backed up.
We should all be microchipped too.
We should be.
Have some identification.
Someday we will be. I hope to be dead by then. you should have all these things for yourself and for your dogs. Plus, you should have squirreled away some food and water. Mm-hmm. So if you have to make a quick exit, you're not stuck with a dog that has to eat McDonald's because you don't have any dog food.
Yeah. There are I was thinking about this today. I've been called in a few times for weather. We take turns on standby to come in and inform people about what's going on. And I was
you
thinking
should get
about
a weather
this.
Staff, wouldn't it?
Ooh, let's not go there. I went online to look for, you know, preparing your pet for an emergency. That's all you need to do is put that into your Google or your Yahoo or whatever. Mm-hmm. And lots of really good resources online and things that I didn't even think about. But the ASPCA is good. Also, the government had ready.gov? Yeah, www.ready.gov. And this is like getting ready for a number of.
Is this the state of Illinois?
No, this is.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is the United States government. So Ready America, they have a whole section on pets.
It's wonderful.
So, and the ASPCA has a really, as you would imagine, has a really solid set of suggestions. You know, arrange a safe haven, keep emergency supplies and a pet traveling kit on hand. You might consider having photocopies of your pet's medical records if that's going to be an issue. You might want to set up a system for having a buddy. So if you've got a friend with a dog and you're in a bad situation, but they're not, you can help, you can do that. So that was some pretty good ideas.
I think that's
there.
What they did in Joplin. I think they took the dogs that were currently housed before the tornado and moved them to Kansas City so they'd have the whole shelter open. They've got at least 500 dogs that were displaced by the storm.
And tell us once more about Catsnap.
Catsnap will be at Pet Supplies Plus, Kirby and Duncan, through the weekend. They'll be there. They've been there this week. Through the weekend collecting donations of either cash or things that animals need, and taking those to Joplin, Missouri on Tuesday.
Okay.
They're working with the ASPCA there.
All right. And there we'll leave it for the month of June. Will you be back on the 1st of July? That's a Friday? That's the first Friday
of the month. I don't see any plans in my future to not be.
Good. I'll look forward to it. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, they join us on the first Friday of the month. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.